Anchorage police have released the name of a man involved in a standoff at a gate leading to a military base yesterday. Police took 23-year-old Joseph Hannafin of Anchorage into custody shortly after 1 o'clock, or about 7 hours after they were first alerted to a problem with a reportedly suicidal man. Police say the man's father called them shortly after 6 in the morning to report that his son was suicidal. Officers spotted what they thought was the car the son was driving in Eagle River and followed it to the gate at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. Police say it was there that Hannafin barricaded himself inside the car at the base gate. Police say Hannafin voluntarily surrendered. Sean O'Brien will run for Juneau School Board as our write-in candidate. O'Brien filed a letter of intent with the city clerk's office yesterday afternoon, making his candidacy official. He previously served one term on the school board from 2005 to 2008, but did not seek a second term for personal and family reasons. He planned on running in 2012, but decided to move it up a year when only one candidate, school board president Sally Sadler, filed to run for two open seats during the just-concluded filing period.
I'm kind of rejuvenated and ready to go, and my kids are a little bit older, so I'm in a better position to volunteer and serve the community.
O'Brien grew up in Juneau and now works at the State Labor Department. He and his wife Sue have three kids, including two boys, still in the school system. One attends Thunder Mountain High School and the other goes to Floyd Dryden Middle School. O'Brien believes the biggest issues facing the Juneau School District right now are the budget and the graduation rate.
Prioritizing and operating as smartly and as efficiently as you can and effectively as you can obviously are critical. I guess the other things I would say is the dropout, you know, continues to be a challenge in school performance and school engagement for our kids. They're all kind of interrelated. I think they're all critical.
City Clerk Lori Sika says O'Brien was the only write-in candidate to file a letter of intent as of yesterday afternoon. No one else has indicated a possible run. The deadline to file as a write-in candidate is 4:30 in the afternoon, September 29th. The city election comes up October 4th. A humpback whale calf has been disentangled from fishing gear near Juneau. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration spokeswoman Julie Spiegel says the calf and its mother were spotted Wednesday morning by a charter fishing boat near Halibut Cove on Shelter Island. They appear to be heading up Lynn Canal at about 5 knots.
The calf was trailing a buoy, and it was entangled in the line, and our whale disentanglement team did spend several hours observing the lines and how they were wrapped around the calf to try to figure out exactly which lines to sever in order to free the calf.
Spiegel says the five-person disentanglement team also attached a transmitter to track the calf in case it raced away before they could free it. The calf was freed from fishing lines Wednesday evening just west of Berners Bay. Not eggs after all. Scientists have done a more detailed examination of that mysterious orange goo that showed up recently in a lagoon near Kivalina. They are fungal spores. Samples were sent down to NOAA's National Ocean Service Center for Coastal Environmental Health and Biomolecular Research in Charleston, South Carolina. Dr. Stephen Morton says they used an electron scanning microscope to examine the tiny orange balls that were seen in the earlier pictures.
It was just a very interesting, unusual event. I've been doing oceanographic work on red tides for, 20 years now. This is the first one I've ever seen that was caused by a fungal spore.
Morton says the spores are consistent with a fungus that causes rust or the discoloration that appears on plant leaves and stems, but it's still unclear which of the 7,800 types of rust fungi is the Kivalina goo. Initial analysis by NOAA's Ted Stevens Marine Institute at Auk Bay showed what appeared to be a concentration of microscopic eggs, possibly of an invertebrate like a copepod. And we have pictures from the electron scanning microscope online at ktoonews.org. Turning to high school football, there's not much that'll make you feel better when you lose by 64 points, but after suffering their second straight blowout, 84-20 at the hands of the Houma Mariners last night, Thunder Mountain head coach Bill Boyer told his team that it's not the end of the world.
I'm not dead, and neither are them. So they'll be in here come Monday, and we're going to be fighting hard again and try for next week.
The Falcons came out strong, forcing a homer fumble on the first play from scrimmage. And less than 2 minutes later, Thunder Mountain quarterback Camden Thomas connected with Sam Yon on a scoring strike from about 5 yards out.
Touchdown, Falcons! Camden Thomas completes the pass to number 21, Sam Yon.
But Homer was simply too quick, too savvy, and too good for the outmanned Falcons. Mariners running back Dylan Day had 8 touchdowns, including 5 on the ground, 1 after a catch, 1 on a fumble recovery, and another on a punt return. And that means Thunder Mountain faithful had to hear a lot of this.
Big touchdown run for number 3, Dylan Day of the Mariners.
The Falcons' other touchdowns came on 1 yard quarterback heaver by Thomas with about eight minutes left in the first half, and a 57-yard scamper by running back John Jolly to cap the scoring with 2:38 left in the game. Between those two scores, Homer pretty much dominated both sides of the ball. And to make matters worse, Boyer says 7 of his players had to leave the game because of injuries.
JV stepped in there and still worked hard. I mean, I got young freshmen out there at Southboards, you know, and they're learning.
Boyer can only hope for another week of practice will help his young players take on their next opponent, Nikiski. The Bulldogs are 2-0 and coming off a 48-0 win over Sitka on Wednesday. They'll be in Juneau for a showdown at Thunder Mountain next Saturday. That's a week from tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Juneau Douglas Crimson Bears play the North Pole Patriots tomorrow in the first Rail Belt Conference game of the season. The game is played in North Pole. The Patriots had their shakedown game last week against West Anchorage and then lost to the Eagles by a score of 44-28. The Crimson Bears' first game of the season last week was an easy victory over Thunder Mountain. Chilista Corporation announced this week that its last two weeklies, the Tundra Drums newspaper and the Seward Phoenix Log, have been purchased. Edgar Blatchford, who is the former founder of Alaska Newspapers Incorporated, bought the papers. Angela Denning Barnes has more on the story.
For the last 15 years, Edgar Blatchford has been an associate professor of journalism at the University of Alaska. He holds both a master's degree in journalism and a law degree. But his Alaska resume goes much further back. He's been a 2-time Alaska commissioner, commissioner of commerce under Frank Murkowski, and the commissioner of community and regional affairs under Walter Hickel. And Blatchford has been the chairman and the director of Chugach Alaska Corporation. So why does he want to own a few weekly newspapers?
I'm very concerned about some of the social issues facing Alaska, the social, economic, political type issues. And I think there's a need that those issues be covered by local journalists.
This won't be the first time that Blatchford has been in the paper-owning business. He bought the Seward Phoenix Log in 1984 and founded Alaska Newspapers Incorporated in 1989 with Chilista. Soon afterward, ANI purchased the Tundra Drums. Both papers have deep roots in the communities they serve. The Tundra Drums has been printed for readers in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta since 1974. The Seward Phoenix Log was founded in 1966, during a time that Blatchford describes as the recovery period after the 1964 earthquake, which destroyed parts of the community. He says it played an important role in gathering public opinion and rallying the local citizens to move forward.
The Seward Phoenix Log has a history of being a cheerleader and also a newspaper that's not afraid to scold local people for doing something that may not be totally correct.
Knowing the long history of both publications, Blatchford says some things will stay the same. He wants both papers to stay local, with local journalists telling local stories. To that end, he wants to move the Tundra Drums back to Bethel from Anchorage, where it has been headquartered in recent years. He says another change could be found within the news in the coming months. He wants the papers to take a stand on issues that others are reluctant to pursue.
A newspaper has that job of being objective. It has to be objective. It has to report on the issues. It cannot be just, you know, a good news type newspaper.
Blatchford says he knows it's difficult for papers to turn a profit these days. That's why Chilista decided to liquidate its 6 weeklies. But he says he's comfortable just breaking even. The other 4 ANI weekly papers have already sold. The Cordova Times was purchased by its editor, Jennifer Gibbons. The Arctic Sounder, the Dutch Harbor Fisherman, and the Bristol Bay Times were purchased by husband and wife, Jason Evans and Kiana Peacock. The final publications by ANI were printed this week, and the ANI offices will close August 31st. In Bethel, I'm Angela Denning Barnes.
The price of September crude oil has fallen to $80.82 a barrel this morning. The price of Alaska North Slope crude for West Coast delivery fell over $5 yesterday. It starts trading this morning at $102.63 a barrel. Gold up over $30 in New York spot market trading, currently at $1,857.20 an ounce. Silver at $41.93. Governor Sean Parnell and First Lady Sandy Parnell hosted the annual Governor's Picnic yesterday, the last of the summer. Picnics were already held in Anchorage, Matsu, and Fairbanks last month. The line for hot dogs and salmon was looping around the parking lot for the Sandy Beach shelters before department commissioners and deputy commissioners even started service at 4:30. Here's some of the sounds from yesterday's event.
On behalf of all Juneauites and, in fact, all of Southeast Alaska, even the tourists that are on the cruise ships that got a bus to come over here, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome all of you to the third annual Governor's Picnic in Alaska's capital city. And no matter what political affiliation we are deeply honored to have the house on Calhoun Avenue occupied again by a great Alaskan family.
Hey, brothers, big sisters.
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you guys here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is always a fun event. So.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's our 30 year now.
Oh, yeah.
Excited to be here.
Yes. I want a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It's not raining, so it's a great day.
Right before you got here, we felt a few little trickles. We're like, oh, no.
No. So hear the music? It's going to be a sunny day. Hi. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
It's a great fun time. I mean, picnics are always fun, you know, summer picnics, but to be able to have community friend time out in a family time out in a place like this and just be able to serve the community of Juneau, we love it. Yeah, I think the community picnics are some of my favorite things.
And the governor has a sense of humor. In fact, I remember the first governor's picnic that he scheduled here for Juneau. He actually called me on Problem Corner, and I thought it was a joke until about 15 seconds into the conversation, I realized it was really him. He didn't even want to sell a refrigerator. He just wanted to invite me to have a hot dog, which I thought was pretty cool because it was at his expense.
Yeah? Well, let's find a good piece for you. Does this look good?
I think it's a very nice gesture.
Yeah. Nine.
Very important for the governor and for Juneau to stay in touch with the governor. It's really great that he started it, and I'm a pretty involved member of the community. I'm very glad to see this every year and a big turnout.
I think it's a blessed event. Look at all the families and the children and everybody here just having a real happy time. Well, I think it's his homeland because he lived here when he was in the legislature. And also, it's nice to have a governor living in the mansion with his family.
Do you want some water?
Okay. What do you say,
Jim? Thank you. Enjoy the picnic.
Some sounds and voices yesterday at the annual governor's picnic at Sandy Beach in Douglas. And they included radio broker and sounding board and state senator Dennis Egan, Governor Parnell, and the First Lady. Some of the Juneau and Douglas residents waiting in line or attending the event, and Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell, who served up the salmon, of course. In addition to Anchorage, Matsu, Fairbanks, and Juneau, Parnell announced that starting next summer, another or additional picnic will be held in a community that will rotate each year.